Hello and welcome along to the Club Soda podcast. My name is Vinny and I'm friends with Laura, one of the founders of Club Soda. And also, I dare say, I'm a recent member to the Club Soda troupe. And you're listening to the Club Soda podcast. This is podcast one of, not sure, but probably lots.
Lots, definitely lots.
Hello, Laura.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm really quite excited about these. Let's talk first of all about what Club Soda does and then talk about what we're likely to hear on these podcasts.
Yeah, so for anyone who doesn't know, Club Soda I describe as a mindful drinking movement, which means whether your goal is to cut down, stop for a bit or quit, we've got some tools and help and a whole community there to support you to do that. And we also do work with pubs and bars and restaurants to get them to think more about their choices for non-drinking customers. Because we realise that as much as we can help you, you know, feel confident about going out and not drinking, it doesn't help if there are really awful drinks out there. So we do a little bit of everything, from courses to help you change your drinking through to the Mindful Drinking Festival and also Club Soda Guide, which guides you around the best pubs and where and what they've got in stock.
Have you got a movement? Is that what you'd call yourself?
I call ourselves a movement. Our goal is to create a world where nobody feels out of place not drinking.
Yeah.
When you do your Sober October, do you feel out of place not drinking?
I feel better about it now, having done three Sober Octobers. But the question, how come you're not drinking, comes up certainly more than I would like.
Yeah, I think that's changing though, and the fact that you can hold a beer now in the pub probably makes that a bit easier because the alcohol-free beers are quite readily available
now.
Yeah,
that's been a massive benefit. In fact, when I first met you and you said, I'm not a kid and I don't want a Coca-Cola or an orange juice in a pub because I've made a decision not to drink. And over the 3 years that I've known you, pleased to say...
How did that happen?
I'm pleased to say I've aged 26. but I've really noticed a fantastic difference in the world of non-drinking. And indeed, you've been my supplier of everything that is non-alcoholic and actually genuinely nice. So What are we likely to hear in these podcasts?
So we wanted to bring you a programme that brought you a flavour of everything that we do in Club Soda. So you will hear some advice and top tips about how to navigate time of year or social situations or how to change your drinking. You will hear drink reviews from our lovely Anya, who is our drinks expert and comes up with ideas that you can implement at home or when you're out and about. We'll do interviews with other people in this whole mindful drinking space, from people who run sober holidays all the way through to people who are doing dry January or sober October or taking a break themselves. So real stories from real people and real people doing things to help you change your drinking. So it's a big mix of everything. You may even hear bits and pieces from speeches that I do out and about to try and persuade the world that they need to give you a better drink. So you'll get a full flavour of what it is that we're doing to create a world where nobody feels out of place not drinking.
So that sounds like quite a broad demographic here. Give me some of the people that we would like to think will be listening to this.
Well, anyone who's interested in new drinks should definitely get something out of this. We'll always have a new drink, maybe speak to some producers and try some stuff on air. Anyone who's trying to change their drinking habits, either taking a break or going alcohol free or wanting to moderate, you'll get all sorts of supportive advice. And then anyone who's just interested in the fact that not every way of socialising needs to involve getting completely drunk, we'll be hearing from people who have thought through social events that where alcohol isn't centre stage.
Okay, that gives us a good setup for how things are going to be. So stick around and enjoy these podcasts, and one would hope that you can spread the word of them. Wherever you found this, you can tell people to find it as well. Now, let's find out exactly what's coming up in this one, the first ever podcast. We have some of the regular slots. One of those slots will be Club Soda News. That's later on.
Club Soda News.
And we'll have the events, which we always kick off with if you want to get to what's happening.
Club Soda Events.
And sandwiched in between all that stuff, we'll have lots of reviews and indeed interviews with relevant folk.
Club Soda Events.
Coming up in November and December and early next year, some people may know we run a regular event called Queers Without Beers, which we only set up because we loved the name. And we do that in London, and the next one's on the 20th of November. But we're actually also launching in Bristol for the first time on Monday the 11th of November. If you can't get to that one because it's a bit too late, that's now going to happen every month. So look out for that, and you can join it on Meetup. And then November the 23rd in Manchester. We have an awesome event coming up in Glasgow on the 26th of November. West Brewery, which is a big brewery based in Glasgow, has just launched its new alcohol-free beer, and they're doing a special tasting for Club Soda members on Tuesday the 26th. So if you're in Scotland and want an evening out with a difference and meet a brewer and talk about alcohol-free beer, that's the place for you. Then on the 30th of November, we've got our Club Soda members lunch in Tonebridge. Followed not far behind on the 7th of December is the Club Soda London Social for Christmas, sort of at the start of December, a little bit Christmassy. I mean, we will be eating pizza, but in a great place called Fugitive Motel, which is just up the road, that has 16 alcohol-free beers and 9 kombuchas and a million alcohol-free spirits behind the bar. And then on December the 28th, so between Christmas and New Year, we're doing our own sort of book launch and social in the new Seven Dials Market in Covent Garden. Square Root Soda have a new bar in there and they're going to be hosting it. They're going to be putting on some special drinks from us, and you'll be able to gather food from all around that food market and stuff your face. I'm going to be the one on the cheese counter. And then finally, if you haven't got it in the diary yet, the Mindful Drinking Festival on the 18th and 19th of January is our big two-day festival in the Truman Brewery in Brick Lane. Definitely get your train sorted now so you can get a nice cheap ticket.
That sounds like it's perfectly timed for what is probably the most popular month of all for giving up booze, Jan, otherwise known as Dry Jan.
Yeah.
Okay, so for all of those events,
go to joinclubsoda.com/events, but it's on the top bar as well, so just click on the events tab. Hey guys, coming up, I've got an awesome little interview with Adnams Low and No champion, Tom. I think you're going to love it.
Low and No?
Low and No drinks.
Well, it's not no drink, it's low and no alcohol.
Low and no alcohol drinks. Fine, you're a pedant.
Coming your way.
So I'm here in the Castle Inn, which is an Adnams pub, just before our pub crawl, which we're doing with Adnams. And I'm here with Tom. Now, Tom is Adnams brand ambassador for Low and No. And the first question I have to ask you, Tom, is what the hell is a brand ambassador?
It's somebody who goes out and preaches the word of what we're doing, really. So I go out and I explore all what's happening in the Low and No industry. I do talks, I do presentations, and I go and just shout about all the good stuff that's happening, and also all the great stuff that Adnams as a brewery is doing. We've been brewing beer now since 1872, so we're well established in the beer world, and we felt like Low and No was something we wanted to jump onto, and me being at the forefront of that has really helped push us into that Low and No industry.
The first thing that I heard when all the Low and No started was that Adnams had produced a Ghost Ship 0.5. So that's your alcohol-free beer. But you actually have an alcoholic beer called Ghost Ship. So why did you call it the same thing and not something different?
So Ghost Ship 4.5 was our most popular beer. It's actually celebrates its 10th birthday next year, which we're really excited about. And so our consumers knew Ghost Ship, especially outside of our heartland. So our heartland is East Anglia, London. So once you step outside of that zone, people don't know Adnams, they know Ghost Ship. So when we produced a low alcohol beer, we wanted to have it something that people would recognise it was our product. So we felt like Ghost Ship was the right product to choose. And also, the way we brew Ghost Ship 0.5 is we start with the 4.5 version and we use reverse osmosis. We filter away the alcohol from the alcoholic version and you're left with the same beer, just minus the alcohol. So because it is the same beer, we wanted to call it the same name and just put that 0.5 addition on to let people know it was a low alcohol version.
Was it worth the effort for Adnams to do this, to do an alcohol-free beer? Surely nobody wants to drink alcohol-free beer. Is that not what's happening?
Yeah, we just thought we'd do it anyway. No. We saw that the market was going this way. We had lots of interest. We produced a beer called Solstar, which was 2.6% in 2016. We then lowered that to 0.9% and we saw the uptake in that. We know we could do better, so we invested heavily into the kit that we've got to produce Ghost Ship 0.5, and now it's been released for about a year and a half. It's now our 6th best-selling beer as a brewery. It's our 2nd bestseller into supermarkets and online. It's the most popular beer that we sell.
Were you the first, and are you still the only brewery that does that de-alcoholisation process? Because most brew a different way. So why did you bother even doing it that way? It seems to be very
different? Why don't you just, you know, stop the brewing process? Why do you go for the de-alkalisation?
We've worked really closely with Bitburger for 20 years, and Bitburger is a German brewer, massive over in Germany, and they produce Bitburger Drive using reverse osmosis, and we were selling that in the UK for them, and we saw a massive uptake in that. So Fergus, our head brewer, went over to Germany, went to speak with GEA, who are the company that produce our de-alkalisation machine, and we saw that this was the best possible way of doing it. So Adnams thought, that's the only way we want to do it. Adnams are all about quality, so we wanted to invest heavily to make sure we could produce that quality beer. So we imported that machinery over from Germany into our brewery in Southwold to make sure we could produce a high quality beer.
And you've also got some wines here with you today, which are your own branded Adnams wines. There's some great excitement now from the Wonder Festival people. They've gone, ooh, wine! Everyone's always after a good quality alcohol-free wine. And I think there's probably a bigger challenge with that. What's the challenge around wine, and why is yours good?
Wine's really difficult to do because when you strip away the alcohol, you strip away so much with the wine. You take away the body, you take away pretty much everything when you use the technology. So the technology they use is called spin cone technology, and the easiest way to sort of say how this is done is it's kind of like a big washing machine. They put the wine in the washing machine and it spins around really fast, and the alcohol falls away from the wine, and you're left with this grape substance, very, very watery, something you wouldn't resemble as being wine. So to get that body back and to get that complexity that a wine has, they add grape juice back into it to get that body back of the wine, and by doing that, people automatically assume that, well, it's just grape juice then, isn't it? But it's not. It's still got that flavour, that tannin, that mouthfeel. And the wine we use is a Spanish wine, and it's a vineyards that we've been working with for a very long time. They produce our full-strength wines, and we believe that our wine is so good and one of the better ones out there because it is produced from real wine again, just like the beer. So we feel that starting with the full-strength product and removing the alcohol afterwards is by far better than starting with something that's never had alcohol in before, especially for our target market, who are drinkers that are looking to abstain or be mindful on certain days.
You're a big brewery. You do lots of alcohol as well. A cynic would say you're just doing this to get money out of people and to really get them onto your alcoholic products, ideally. You don't really care that much about the low and no space. It's just, you know, to make sure that your brand's still in the public eye. What would you say about that, and why is Adnams different?
Totally. We believe we make drinks for everybody, not just somebody. So, for example, we're in the Castle Inn now. We feel that coming into a pub is an experience. Three pubs a week are closing in the UK, so we want to make sure that age of pubs stays alive. It's a British tradition, so to be able to offer someone the experience of coming into a pub and having an alcohol-free Ghost Ship or one of our 0.5% wines, or even just a nice juice or a cup of tea, you're still having that experience, and you're still having that feeling of coming in and being social. Humans love being social and love being together as a group, and to be able to do that sober and to be able to do that in a mindful way and not feeling forced of having to drink if you don't want to, is just fantastic. It connects society, it connects people, and it, you know, share ideas. So we believe that we are making sure that everyone can enjoy that experience, whether they want to have a drink or they don't want to have a drink, and we want to make sure that we're producing quality products when we're doing that.
So what's next? You've got a really good selling alcohol-free beer, and you've got some wines. So what are you going to tempt us with next?
So the good news is for us that at the minute we are producing as much Ghost Ship 0.5 as we physically can. So at the minute the de-alkalisation machine is running 24/7. So if we halted that process, we'd stop producing as much Ghost Ship 0.5, so we'd not have enough that people want to buy, which is brilliant. That's great news. So we had to look at ways of what can we do that doesn't include the de-alkalisation machine, because we physically can't do anything else with it. So one of those things we've been discussing is at the minute Solstar was stopped at 0.9%. So we're looking, do we pull that down even further and have it at 0.5%? So it gives it a bit more of a category to sit in. So at the minute, 0.9%, no one really knows where that sits. What is it? Is it low? Is it a small beer? What is it? So that's one thing we're thinking about, pushing that down to 0.5%. And another one we are thinking about launching is a cider. We launched Wild Wave, which is a 5% English cider, earlier on in the year, and it was a a big success for the company. We've been in talks with our cider producer on ways we can produce a 0.5 version of that. Again, it will have the same name because we believe in our products, and it'll just be in that 0.5 family.
A way to my heart is to get a really good cider, so I'm going to be the ultimate taste test for this, Tom. Thank you for your time today, and I'm sure we'll speak to you again in the future, maybe even particularly when your cider comes out.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
That was Tom from Adnams. More information at adnams.co.uk.
Before we get to Anya's drink reviews for Christmas, I wanted to tell you about our Christmas programme. So for anyone who's changing their drinking habits, the absolute crunch time, the time that tests you the most in your resolve, has got to be Christmas, right? Because it's like wall-to-wall alcohol. There's you know, you don't need any excuse to drink a Bucks Fizz in the morning. Mm. There's loads of Christmas parties. It feels like the one massive booze fest. So if you're not drinking for your first Christmas, it's a real difficult time. So we've got a lovely programme that lasts from the 23rd of November all the way through to the 4th of January. So it takes you over New Year as well, with emails, a private Facebook group, lots of my time in order to support you over the Christmas season. So if this is your first Christmas as somebody who's moderating alcohol or going alcohol free, this programme is only £18. So it's like £3 a week just to get you through that period. And I highly recommend it. It's great fun. You'd get to connect with loads of other people doing their first Christmas. And I can tell you, if you can get through Christmas and New Year without drinking, everything else becomes easy, because that's the toughest time of the year. It's like you've developed a superpower. By the end of it, you'll have a cape and you'll be wearing your underpants outside your trousers. So have a look for our programme. It's on our website, joinclubsoda.com. And if you click on the courses, it's on the drop-down menu. And if you get it today, you can start with everybody else on the 23rd of November. But you can also play catch-up. We've got the programme designed so that whenever you start, you'll get the full benefit of the programme, our advice and our support.
£3 a week, by the way, when you think about it, is about half a pint if you live in London.
Yeah.
A regular feature on this here show, the Club Soda podcast, will be Anya, who's very good at doing drink reviews. Who is Anya, to start with?
So Anya is one of a number of drinks experts in Club Soda. We're very lucky, actually. We have a great support from people like Crafty Beer Girls, and I actually found Anya on Crafty Beer Girls because she writes about beer and works for a brewery. Actually, she's nearly on her 100 days alcohol-free, but also cut down drinking in order to do the Marathon de Sable, which at some point I'm going to get her to talk about as well, but there's also a blog about it on our website. But she knows about drinks. She knows how to taste them, talk about them, and also how to mix them. And so she'll be bringing you some drink reviews right now.
Drink ideas.
Anya's part of the team who knows about drinks. In other words, whenever she drinks a beer, she doesn't just say it's hoppy and malty, or a drink that says, oh, it's just not too sweet, which is what I used to say every time I did a drink review. So Anya, you're going to take us through some drinks today. Do you want to just tell us the title of each drink and then we can do them in each turn?
Yeah, so we're going to start with Shrubs Red Wine Substitute, which is called Red Sea. And then we're going to look at the Liars Coffee Liqueur. We're going to look at Lindeman's Alcohol-Free Chardonnay Pinot Noir Muscat. And we're also going to check out the Holly Go Lightly Cider as well. I think we'll start with the Liars because I've already made you a very tasty coffee with it.
It's worth explaining Liars. It's new.
It is
for new. For us, it feels like it's been around for a while, but most people can't even find it in the supermarket yet.
Yeah. So they've got a really extensive range. I think they've got 13 products in total.
Yeah. So basically Liars is alcohol-free spirits, but they're not quite like the Seed Lips of this world. They're designed to mimic the different spirits that are out there, and they've got 12 or 13 of these, all the way from whiskey substitutes all the way through to absinthe.
The absinthe, I think, is the one that excites me the most, because I think most people that drink absinthe are drinking it for the old party vibes, so it's quite fun to have an alcohol-free alternative to that. So yeah, they have a really extensive range, and yeah, as you say, they cover a crazy variety of styles. So the one that we've chosen today is the coffee liqueur. So today we're kind of focusing on drinks that you would have around Christmas time.
Just hitting our glassware there. Did you hear it? Oh, it's maybe plastic. We maybe got plastic here.
It's very safe. Yeah, so we're kind of chatting about things that you quite enjoy around Christmas time. I don't know about anyone else, but for me, a Bailey's coffee is something that I used to indulge in. So we spoke to Liars and they suggested trying this coffee liqueur. So all I've actually done is added 50ml of this to a black coffee, which I think is something that you could really enjoy after a meal, as that kind of signifying the end of pudding, cheeky coffee. What do you think? Did you like it?
Well, I've just taken a little swig. It's really weird because it reminds me of the only time I've ever really drunk coffee. I was never a coffee drinker when I was drinking, was to have Tia Maria in a coffee because there wasn't anything else. So that, to me, tastes like a Tia Maria in a coffee. I can imagine some squirty cream on top. I don't know. That probably shows how classy I am.
Very classy.
But I can definitely imagine that. And it adds an extra warmth to the coffee.
Definitely.
Which I guess is what a liqueur does to a coffee.
Yeah, I think so. It gives it just a bit more depth. And there's, I think if you drink it on its own, it is quite sweet. It's got quite a big vanilla note. But once you add it into your coffee, they kind of balance each other out really nicely. And it just makes it extra rich, and there's kind of a little bit of a chocolate hint in there as well.
And I quite like Liars have got like a different character on each of the front of their bottles.
Yeah.
And this is the cheetah with the flying goggles on. And then they've got this really weird little, each bottle has got a little absurd sort of quote on. And this one says, "It may be hard for an egg to become a bird, but it would be harder for it to learn to fly while remaining an egg." So I think there's wisdom in that for all of us.
I think so. Yeah, some of those are really funny. It's worth checking out the full range to read those.
What else could you put this coffee liqueur in, do you think?
I think you could definitely make a good espresso martini with this. I thought we would talk about just adding it with coffee for now, just because most people probably aren't that into making a full-blown espresso martini at home. But yes, it could.
And I guess if you're a big fan of tiramisu and you don't want to use some of the products in there, this would actually add some body and some taste to a tiramisu or any of those desserts. Or if you wanted an, what's the Italian, is it affogato.
Yes, it would make a great
You could use that on the top. So suddenly this becomes a very versatile product because you can use it in cooking and in desserts as well as a drink.
Yeah.
I could definitely taste this just on the rocks, though, as well.
Yeah, oh, definitely. It's absolutely lovely. And I think it's so nice to see something dark done so well, because I think we see a lot of botanicals, and there aren't quite so many dark spirits on the market at the moment, so it's really nice to try something really different.
Do you know where you can get Liars from yet?
So at the moment, if you go to their website, which is www.liars, which is LYRES.co, their web shop links to Amazon. So at the moment, I think that's the best place to get it.
They're telling me that they will be in supermarkets in the new year, so it's
Brilliant.
Definitely one to look out for. And then if they haven't got the one that you want, you're going to have to let the supermarket know so you can get it in, because I think finding space for all 13 might be difficult for some supermarkets. But that's definitely beautiful, and that's a really beautiful... I'm just going to have another swig of that.
Yeah,
I'm not somebody who drinks coffee generally, so...
Oh, I can't function without
it. But this suddenly feels indulgent and definitely feels really Christmassy.
Yeah, definitely. It's a really wintry treat, I think.
Cool. So what have we got next?
I think next we should go to the shrub.
So it's called, it's made by Shrub, but it's called Sharab.
It's their Red Sea non-alcoholic unfiltered red wine alternative. So I think let's pour some and see what you think.
I mean, I'm really interested in the fact that in the wine space, unlike in the other spaces, there are wines that are de-alkalized wines and then there are wine alternatives. And so what would you say about this as a wine alternative? What makes it an alternative to wine?
Let's maybe start by talking about the flavour profile, because it might help make a bit more sense of it. So I don't know if you, when you were drinking, if you ever had any natural wines. You might have liked them, actually, because you were a cider fan, weren't you?
Yeah, but I never drank them.
Okay.
They weren't in what I used to call my outside larder, which was the local off-licence.
Outside larder. So natural wines are kind of low intervention wines, so there's very little chemical or mechanical intervention. It's quite a spontaneous process, so you'll find vineyards that make these. The flavour of those wines actually varies quite a lot from batch to batch. And they tend to be a lot funkier, so you'll notice they'll be higher in acidity. They're usually a little bit lower in alcohol as well than most wines. So yeah, you have a lot more kind of acidity and kind of, people kind of chuck around words like farmyard, like they're quite funky. And I think actually this is a really stunning alcohol-free option for people that enjoy those kind of products. So
I've learned new tasting techniques thanks to Adnams at the weekend. So I know that the first sip is just to coat your tongue and the second sip is the most important. But on the nose, this has, you can taste that, you can smell that acidic note. It's slightly vinegary on the nose, which of course, because it's based around a drinking vinegar.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, I've got to do my second sip now. A shrub is a lot more vinegary than this. That he's definitely managed to take that acidity and those sharper vinegar notes down to create something that feels very smooth.
Yeah, it's quite like soft and round.
Yeah, and so this is a red. But would you chill this?
So I think he's actually suggested serving it between 14 to 18 degrees. So slightly warmer. He is also releasing a white as well. It's not quite ready yet, but that one is going to be oak aged and buttery as well. So I think that's going to sway a little bit more towards kind of a classic Chardonnay profile. With this, I think you get kind of a nice peppery character, sort of a little bit of sour cherry.
Those were definitely the words that I was going for.
Yeah.
No. This is why you're doing drink reviews, Anya, and I'm not. I'm going, it just tastes nice,
I think,
right?
You said loads of great things so far. So this one also is aged in cherry wood as well.
It's definitely got that feeling of premium and old and having been made really carefully. Because it's definitely got, it's just a lovely, smooth, rounded taste. And it's definitely not a wine, but you can definitely see, because it's not sweet, that it would go perfectly well with your meal, with your if you're having a lamb.
I
or
was
going to
say lamb. I could definitely for Christmas Day, this would be the one.
It. But it would equally go with your nut roast, right?
Yeah, 100%.
And my new favourite word that everyone will get bored of hearing me say is speed humps. Because in alcohol-free drinks, what you want is something that isn't a soda, which you drink to refresh yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You want something that is sippable.
Yeah.
That you drink slower. And because of the acidity, the slight acidity in this, and the fact that he's brought the sweetness down, it just encourages you to drink it slower. Look, I've still got like some in my glass.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really chugging mine, but it's just because I'm like, I need more of it. I want to like pick out more of the flavours. But yeah, definitely, this is something that you could sit and enjoy over sort of half hour or something, like just having little sips. And I think definitely for pairing with food, I think it's so nice to have something like this available, because it will really stand up to something that's a bit fattier as well and a bit meatier.
Yes, and definitely, and it's not a de-alkalised product for those people who can't quite get on with the de-alkalised wines. That's great. If you don't drink for religious reasons, it's great. And also, I think if you don't like sulfates, because some of the de-alkalized wines still have sulfates in, which some people still don't agree with. And again, this is a good alternative as well. Where could you buy the Shrub?
The best place to get it would be directly from Shrub. So if you head to www.shrubdrinks.com and just note that Shrub is S-H-R-B. So that's probably the best place to get it at the moment. And they're currently looking at wholesalers and independent retailers to take it on.
And he'll be at the festival in January.
Yes.
So if he doesn't bring some of this, I'll be very upset.
Oh, I mean, I hope he doesn't sell out over Christmas. I'm definitely going to be ordering myself some.
Do you know how much it is a bottle?
£12.
I'm going to have to drink the rest of this. Or you can take it back on the train.
On the megabus.
Are you on megabus?
Oh. With my open bottle of wine.
We treat all of our staff really well at Club Soda, and poor Anya gets the megabus down from Leeds.
I mean, I chose it myself because the trains were always so delayed.
What's your next drink then?
Maybe let's chat about mulling. I think previously I always used to buy mulling sachets, and I don't know why I was doing it to myself, because
isn't it just easy?
I suppose, but it's quite a nice thing to put together yourself, and actually makes quite a nice present if you're or like a table setting gift for a little mulling bag for each.
I guess if you're not drinking and you're not intent on getting as much mulled wine down you as possible, then the process of making a really beautiful mulled wine with an alcohol-free product or even a mulled cider is definitely a different experience, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
What's the basis of mulling then?
Well, it's basically, let's open this. It's basically adding delicious spices to your beverage. So I think people mostly associate it with wine. Personally, I prefer mulled cider or mulled juice as well. So this I would recommend doing with like a nice cloudy apple juice or a cranberry juice. Or in this case, we've got our Holly Go Lightly cider.
And if you are interested in the alcohol-free ciders, then the Stoufford Press or the Sheppies, which is available in the supermarket, they're also the non-already fruity ciders. So you're looking for a cider that isn't a fruity cider.
Yeah. And I think as well, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I think when you're mulling, because you're going to be adding some quite strong flavours to something, you don't necessarily have to shell out for your absolute favourite cider or red or juice or whatever, because you're going to be kind of tampering with it anyway.
I do find, though, if you do it with a juice, that it's still very sweet.
Yeah.
Whereas actually, if you can get your base to be a lot drier, then that helps.
Yeah.
And so I do like using an alcohol-free red wine for mulling.
Yeah.
It creates exactly the same spell, that same experience.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's not too sweet. So you wouldn't want to use a grape juice if you can use a de-alcoholised wine, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And I think as well with using like a de-alcoholised red, you still get that kind of tannic hit that sort of holds everything up a little bit as well.
Oh, I'm very excited. This is a cider I haven't tried before. So tell me, what cider have you got here?
Holly Go Lightly cider. Which is from Celtic Marches. Is that how you say Celtic? Yeah.
Celtic. Well, hopefully they won't listen.
Oh, gosh.
They won't if we don't tag them in the social.
Yeah.
It's a new cider. It's got a lovely picture of Holly Go Lightly on the front. And as you know, I'm a bit of a cider buff, so I'm interested in the non-fruity ciders. And so I'm going to give this one a go. That's really nice. It's not too sweet. For me, it could do with a little bit more of that dry bite you get from a cider.
Yeah.
But certainly, I could happily drink that. And again, it's not a fast drinking. It doesn't feel like it's a juice. It feels like it's a brewed drink that's had some thought put into it.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
It's got that really kind of fresh, crisp apple flavour. But you're right, it's got a bit of dryness. It could maybe have a little more, but... Yeah, it's certainly not juice.
Yeah, and definitely, I mean, because I'm aware that I was always a very dry cider drinker, which wasn't actually the mainstream preference. So if you're into a sweeter cider, this actually just hits the middle of the road, I think.
Yeah, I would agree, yeah.
So this is available in Wise Bartender and Dry Drinker.
Yeah, it works out around £2 a bottle.
Cool, and you can use the Club Soda discount on there, which is Club Soda VIP for both Wise Bartender and Dry Drinker. And I wonder if we'll see this in some other places popping up in the new year.
I think so, yeah. I think it's quite appealing.
It's a really nice cider. If you don't want to use this one, then there's also the Stoufford Press. There's Sheppies that are available in some of the supermarkets. But you'd probably want to avoid the fruity ciders if you're going to start adding spices to it.
Yeah, I think that's when it starts to get a bit confused.
What would you add to this then, and how would you do it?
So to make a mulling bag, I guess there's a couple of ways you could do it. Some people get, you know, like the empty kind of big tea bags that you can get to put your own tea leaves in. They can work if you're doing small amounts. If you're wanting to do like a big pan and just have that on the go, then it's probably best to use some muslin cloth and just tie it up with kind of food safe string. So in there you would want to put, I mean, for kind of a small amount, you could go for kind of 2 cinnamon sticks, a few cloves. So we suggest 4, but every year whenever I mull anything, the first few batches, I'm like, oh, not quite happy. So I'll adjust it as I go. But maybe around 4 cloves. Star anise is really nice as well. So you might want to add a couple of those. And then I sometimes use some fresh ginger as well. I think you can also use, you know, like the crystallised ginger that's got sugar on it. if you just use like one piece and just dice it up, you could put that in there as well. And peppercorns work really well as well, so maybe kind of around four peppercorns. And then, yeah, just kind of tweak it to suit your preference. If you're doing a big pan, I always think it's nice to kind of chop an orange into segments, like a big one into four pieces. You can stud that with cloves as well and put that in, just to give it a little bit of kind of citrusy character. And for garnishing, it's always nice to have like a nice thin orange slice and pop some cloves on that, and you can have that floating in the top as well, which looks really nice.
Would you adjust it if you were doing a cider compared to a wine, or would you just use the same?
I think it's personal preference, but really I think generally you can stick with the same mix, really. I suppose with wine I might not bother with ginger for wine and err more towards the kind of peppercorn thing, just because I think that's quite nice. But it's one of those things where I think it's quite fun to experiment and find your own signature mulling spice.
Everyone needs a signature mulling spice. I mean, I've got the real bad habit of adding too many things in and then screwing it all up.
Yeah, I think if you put too much, it can get a bit kind of muddy and cloying. And I think as well, it's always best to use kind of whole ingredients. So like use cinnamon sticks. You can break them up with a rolling pin or whatever, but use that rather than using like powdered ingredients, because that's when you start to get a bit of a funny texture thing going on. And the bottom of the pan is always horrible.
And then you could make up some of those and give them as gifts, yeah, with a bottle of alcohol-free wine, or yeah, take it with you to a party and go, well, you know, how about I put on a pan of my alcohol-free mulling so that anyone not drinking tonight can mm-hmm. have some. Get extra in because everyone want to try your stuff, and then you'll end up with nothing left and they'll carry on with the alcohol.
It's like when vegetarians go to a buffet and there's Ooh. Nothing left for them.
I don't normally eat vegetarian, but I'm going to try that. Is yeah. that it? Yeah. It's cool.
Classic.
Cool. What else will you try for Christmas then?
So one thing that, I mean, personally, it's not something I've been that into, but I know a lot of my friends, their families will always have a Bucks Fizz on Christmas morning. So I thought we could just quickly chat about making a little alcohol-free Bucks Fizz.
What do you put in a Bucks Fizz?
It is just fizz and orange juice. So you can do a mimosa as well. So mimosa is half and half orange juice and fizz.
Anyway, oh, is that all it is? I thought it was something far more technical than that.
No, it's just different ratios.
I'm just opening the bottle here.
Bucks Fizz is two parts fizz to one part juice. And I think for an alcohol-free drink, I think it's probably best to go down the Bucks Fizz route, just because you don't have the alcohol to kind of stand up to the sweetness of the juice.
Okay, so, and you wouldn't use any other juices?
An interesting question. I mean, you could, but then I guess technically it wouldn't be a Bucks Fizz.
No, but if you really liked mango, then a mango fizz in the morning.
Yes.
Why not? It's Christmas after all.
Oh!
Cool.
Have we got any glasses left?
Yes, we've got, I mean, you know, our highly sophisticated glasses here. What sort of juice would you use? Would you go for the carton from the supermarket, or would you go for one with bits in?
I personally don't like bits, but that's because I'm a child. So I would go
for smooth. I prefer one with bits.
Do you? Oh, we can't have Christmas together.
That's it.
It's
banned.
Over. It's really good.
I mean, I was never a big Bucks Fizz fan because, I guess maybe because I would think, why dilute your good fizz with some orange juice? That's basically how my mind worked. I'd like to pretend it was because I was sophisticated and didn't like to get stuff in my wine because I had a very good wine. But I think I can now admit to myself after 7 years, it's because I didn't want to dilute my alcohol. So we've got we've used a Lindeman's fizz here. So Lindeman's do a range of alcohol-free wines that are in nearly every supermarket. They've got a red,
There's a white, and a fizz.
Fizz does really well through the dealkalisation process. And this one has got a lovely, I think there's a slightly elderflowery, gooseberry sort of nose to this one.
Yeah, and I think with this one, it really has got that nice kind of nice dryness that just stops it being a sparkling, fruity thing. It's a bit more grown up because of that dryness on the finish.
And it's a Pinot Noir.
So Pinot Noir is the grape variety, but it's also Chardonnay as well, so it's a blend. Yeah, it's quite peachy. Like, it's quite sort of soft fruits, which I think is really pleasant.
I think it's very crisp and definitely goes with orange juice with bits.
Absolutely. It's got kind of a little kind of honey hint as well. But yeah, it definitely works really well for this. And I think it's quite an affordable one as well. So you can get this from Amazon. it's usually somewhere around the £5 mark.
Yeah, and the same in the supermarkets as well.
Yeah.
So it's around that, and you should be able to find that quite easily. I have to say that they've been selling the fizz particularly well. So if you want to be sure that you've definitely got some, then definitely go into the supermarket and pick it up early. It won't go off. It'll sit in your cupboard and it'll be ready there for Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Chill it down nice and cold.
Yes, definitely, yeah.
And with your cold orange juice. And then when everyone else is having a Bucks Fizz on Christmas morning.
Here you go.
You've got yours too.
Nice.
Oh, thank you so much, Anya.
That is absolutely fine.
And then next month we're going to take you through drinks to celebrate the new year.
Yeah, celebratory drinks.
And then after that, it'd be the festival. So lots to come.
Many things. It's going really quickly.
It is. Thank you very much. So we're here in the Castle Inn, and I'm with Lisa and Susie from Wonder, or Wonder Festival, as some of you may know it, in Cambridge. We're about to do our mindful pub crawl, but before we do, I thought we would have a little chat about Wonder Festival. I keep wanting to call it Wonder Festi. It's terrible, isn't it? Because that's what their social media handle is. But want to talk to them about why they set up Wonder Festival and what their own personal journey is. So I wonder which of you wants to tell me why you started to think about your drinking and why it led you to run an event.
Hi, so I'm Lisa. So I'm one half of Wonder Festival. So I've been on a journey in the last few years. Drinking was always something that I did. It was just a normal part of my life, even though in my 20s I had a year off drinking and actually went through that whole journey of not going out, then deciding I needed to still have a social life, then going out and not really enjoying that, and then loving it in the end. So I did experience that years ago. But in the last few years, in my late 40s, I started to really think about, you know, is this what I want to be doing? Do I really want to be getting drunk, having a terrible hangover? And also, I'm a breath worker, and the more breath work that I did, the more yoga that I did, the less I wanted to get drunk, because I was feeling happy anyway. And then I wanted to go out and enjoy myself and be with other people that were like me and felt like me and wanted to have fun still, but without needing to get drunk. And I couldn't find anything to go to that was local. Got together with my friend Susie and we said, well, we're going to have to set it up, aren't we? And that's how it came about. So Wonder is about sharing that kind of special time with people that you get when you go out. But also we do things about well-being, so we do things like breath work and yoga, and we have special talks, and we have a lot of fun, we have a lot of music, and a really good time.
Is it because you like to dance, I guess?
Absolutely love to dance. I also DJ, and Susie is going to be DJing soon as well. And we love having a good time. Dance floor is the best place, you know, you can let go of everything, you can connect with people. And actually doing it sober is so much better. It's so much better. You know, health-wise, it's amazing. And you can feel it properly. You can feel the music. You can let go. For loads of people, the first time they do it, and for myself, I was like it as well, it was actually a terrifying thing. You know, how can I get on the dance floor sober? And usually I've got a drink in my hand first of all. But actually, I don't think like that at all anymore, and it's been amazing, and loads of people have come and had exactly the same experience, and they realise now that they can dance anywhere. It's like dancing in your kitchen but on the dance floor with loads of other amazing people, and it's great for meeting people, making new friends, finding yourself a new love.
All very positive. So what about you, Susie? Tell me a bit about your journey with alcohol and where you are with that right now, and why sober space is still important for you.
Well, for me, I think that Lisa and I were both talking about how we felt there needed to be an alternative out there. That why does everything always centre around alcohol? Why do we have to have that as the sort of common denominator? Talking with a friend who has had a negative relationship with alcohol, and she still goes to pubs and still goes out partying, but she doesn't drink. And I said, well, we're thinking about setting up an event that is, you know, an alcohol-free event. And she said, why? Why? Why would you do that? What? I don't need that. And I said, but surely we need to be able to go to places where other people are sober so we can all have a good time together and feel like everybody's in the same place and everybody's in the same space. And she said, yeah, but that's just how the way the world is. That's just how it is, Susie. And I said, well, I don't feel that that is how it has to be, and I want to change that. So Lisa and I work on Wonder Festival because we want to change the world, which maybe sounds a little bit grand, but why not? Why not? So doing Wonder, one of the things that we look at is helping people to feel safe. We know that alcohol disinhibits people, but the reason why they need that is because they want to feel safe and they want to feel relaxed. And actually, you can do that through natural means, and you can help people. And they don't have to feel like they're in discomfort with other people if they spend time getting to know them and know that they can trust them, and they can build up their levels of oxytocin. And that's part of the reason why we do things like yoga and well-being type things earlier in the day, so that people start to get to know each other. We also try to incorporate eating together, because we know that eating together is an important way to connect with people, and connection is really important to us. I don't know if you know, but the word companionship means with bread, to go with bread and make friends. So that's why we look at the natural happy neurochemicals, the things that we can do to help build those up.
You still drink a bit. What's your journey? You're a mindful drinker. So tell me what's your relationship and how you would describe that?
I haven't necessarily had the best relationship with alcohol over my lifetime. I do have a nickname, which I suppose I can declare it, Boozy Susie. That's sort of stuck with me for a bit too long, and I've got a bit fed up with it. So I've started to work on my relationship with alcohol and be a bit more mindful with it. I'd prefer not to abstain forever altogether. I know that that's some people's approach, but I don't want to have to do that. There's some pleasures in being able to dip into a glass of champagne or something like that once in a while as something special, and it would be a shame to say no, never doing that again. So that's why I'm working on it, and actually I feel more awake and more alert. And I was out last night at a party till 3 a.m, and I was having a great time and dancing. Meanwhile, some people were ending up in the loo throwing up and that sort of thing, and it's like, God, I'm so glad I'm not in that place.
For me, it's always a really interesting discussion about what tools and techniques you put in place if you're planning to moderate. I don't moderate because I know that I wouldn't be able to. I'm sort of slightly in awe of the people who put that work in. Do you have rules for yourself, or what is it that you're doing to work out how you can make that possible?
Well, right now I'm doing Sober October, so I'm abstaining for the period of 31 days in order to sort of reset a little bit. I thought that's quite a useful technique to just shake off some of the habits that I've got in place. There's little what are they called, hacks, aren't they, when you do things that change your behavior slightly. So I if I do want to have a glass of wine and I want to partake, I buy one of those mini bottles of wine, so I can have something like that. But if I buy a whole bottle, there's a grave risk that it's going to be gone. So just buy a mini bottle and then you're safe. I don't know yet, how this journey is going to go, because I feel like I'm very much sort of on that journey. I have had some really good times without alcohol, and that's really important to me, is that I have had really good times. I got totally giddy at the first ever Wonder Festival in July 2018 when I was just, Lisa said to me, it's like you're drunk, and I said, I know, it feels like I'm drunk. And I wasn't, and I didn't realize that I could get to exactly that same place but without any alcohol in my system. And so now I understand that that person and that state isn't actually the alcohol. The alcohol just is the shortcut to that place.
And that's really interesting, because lots of people want to moderate because they don't think they can manage the Friday or Saturday night out. But actually, until you learn to do that Friday or Saturday night out, you don't realise that it's possible. Sky doesn't fall in. It's possible to have a great time without drinking. Do you find that as well?
Yeah. One of the things I would say, there are some difficult, tricky things, because society hasn't changed that much. One of them is about friendships and friendship groups. So both of us have found that at different points it's been quite tricky. If everybody is drinking, and then people might say to you, why aren't you having a drink? And it's almost like you're a reflection maybe of themselves. So they're kind of, you know, maybe they should be thinking a bit more about whether they should be having a drink or not. And people can get quite annoyed about it. People can feel like you're not joining in, or it's not the same if you're not drinking with them, and actually, you know, being a bit upset about it. So there are sort of hurdles that you have to get through. What I've found is once people have got used to the fact that I don't really drink, they don't even question it, and it's normal, and they can be normal around me. I might leave a bit earlier if they're all drinking. I might go a bit earlier. I might meet friends at lunchtime. I might meet friends more for coffee, cup of tea, especially friends of mine who drink a lot and their behaviour changes a lot. I might do other things to see them because I still want them to be my friend. I love them, you know, they're my friend. But I don't particularly want to be with them when they're in absolutely annihilated by alcohol, you know. So there are hurdles. I'd say one of the most lovely things that's happened for me is I've got three children, two of which are teenagers and one's in her 20s, and they are really happy about Wonder, and they love the fact that it's opened up this whole world for them in terms of, you know, children grow up seeing adults drinking all the time. It's like normalised. What isn't normal for them to see is adults not drinking and talking about it and being open about it. And my kids, you know, they think it's great. They're like, you know, Layla's like, oh, when's the next Wonder? You know, and so, you know, that's big. And when Susie says we're trying to change the world, it, you know, it does sound really grand, but actually we are. We are. We want it to be different, which is why we've joined up with you, and we think what you're doing is amazing, you know. And we're underdogs a bit at the moment. There's, you know, but pubs like this, the one that we're in today, you know, Adnams, there's a brewery. You know, a lot of these organisations are now getting on board and realising, you know, it's okay to offer an alternative. It's not saying we're getting rid of alcohol. It's saying there's a whole nother way of going out. There's a whole nother range of drinks that actually could be really lovely. And you can socialise and have a great time without it.
So when's your next event? What's the next plan?
We've got a big event coming up in July 2020. That's going to be a very special event because it's taking place at the Museum of Technology in Cambridge. So a really, really cool venue, which has never had a party in it like this before. And we're going to be setting up really cool lighting in there. And we're taking over the whole space, you know, Caribbean food. And we've got talks. I'm hoping we've got a lady called Fee Munro coming to do a talk on living like you're dying. And we've also got a lady, Sue McDonald, who is talking on lucid dreaming, which should be very interesting. So those are the sorts of things that we've got in the pipeline. And obviously, we've got a little while before July. It's on the 18th of July. If you go to wonderfestival.co.uk, you should be able to pick up a ticket from there. We will be doing other little smaller events in the meantime because our gang of Wonder Festival lovers want to come and dance, and they've been clamouring at us for another opportunity to get together and dance into the night. So we will be doing an event sooner than July.
And I've tested the tables in the pint shop, so you will be able to dance on them. They're definitely strong enough, so I'm expecting to see that a bit later. Okay, guys, we're just going into Christmas, so do you have some top tips on people surviving Christmas?
Club Soda top tips.
Christmas is all about indulgence and people stock up on loads of booze. So what I would suggest people do, which is what I'm going to do, is to stock up on your alcohol-free lovely drinks. So we have got some Sensa spirits that we've bought for Wonder. And you can mix those up with different tonics or other mixes. So really, and you can make lovely Christmas cocktails. I think the key is to make yourself a really nice drink and hopefully other people in the family, and maybe get the kids involved in making themselves a drink, because that's something you can do with the kids. So still making sure that you've got your really lovely drink, and also maybe Christmas parties, you know, they can be tricky. So making sure you've got something to take with you that you can drink at that party, making arrangements so that you you can leave whenever you need to leave, or you can go earlier.
Make sure you get extra in, because once you open your alcohol-free drink, everyone wants to try it, and you think you've got enough for you for the day, and then suddenly it's disappeared, and they've still got all their alcohol left, so they then move on back onto their alcohol, and you're left with nothing. And it's like, hang on a minute, I brought that for me.
And if you're going to Christmas parties, you're going to come into contact with people who are blind drunk, and whilst that's inevitable in the Christmas party season, it can be a bit tedious if you're completely sober. So my top tip for people in the Christmas party season is to make clear plans for an exit if they're being too much. Make sure you know how you're going to get home, and don't feel like you're obliged to stay. But I think also just join in, just get silly with them. If they want to, you know, pull you onto the dance floor, just go with it and have a really good time. Because actually, once you move into that mode and you realise that you're dancing and they're being silly and you're being silly, that actually you're just back in the same place that you were when you used to drink. It's just a silly, fun, daft Christmas party.
Because we drank to say things we didn't enjoy. So I think, you know, actually Christmas, decide that sometimes you can say no and go and watch something interesting on the telly instead, and make yourself your own drink at home, and that's all okay as well. I'm sure we'll speak to you again in the future, definitely around your event next year. And we're about to kick off on the pub crawl. So thank you.
Thank you.
Looking forward to it.
Things I was hoping to do in this podcast is share a little bit with you about some of the things I've been doing out in the world to really promote mindful drinking, and to make sure that when you go out to pubs and bars that you've got better choices. We've got some snippets for you because I've recorded some of the things I've done. One thing that I did a few weeks ago, which was really exciting, was I chaired the first ever Low and No conference, which is the first event bringing together all of the producers of low and no alcohol drinks in the sector. There was everyone in there from, you know, big beer companies like AB and Bev, all the way through to the new producers. I had a fantastic 2 days, mainly because it was an audience that hadn't already heard all of my jokes. But here's a little snippet for you.
What ultimately we are is a behaviour change business that works with people who have decided, once they've decided they want to change their drinking, we're a place that they can go. And we don't talk at all about alcohol harms. We only talk about all the positive benefits of changing your drinking and how it's like an amazing superpower that gives you loads of energy and makes you look really young, I've discovered. Like, I'm 70, right? You've all got that?
And then after that, I was really lucky that Club Soda members from the Leicestershire area who currently pay through Pay What You Want made it possible for me to go and speak to Leicester Council and speak to all of the people involved in that area in helping people change their drinking habits. What's really important for me is normally when councils look at support services, they look at people who are needing very intense face-to-face support and work, and they do a lot of talking about alcohol harms. As you know, in Club Soda, we don't talk about harms, we talk about all the benefits of change. And I went there to make the pitch for them supporting people like you a little bit more that may need a little bit of help but can do that through an online community like Club Soda. I have to say, it went down really well, and you can hear a bit what you think here.
It's a whole new narrative. We've known what alcohol does for hundreds of years. It's all about marketing a different brand. We have to start explaining why you might have an alcohol-free beer. What's the point of an alcohol-free spirit? Why would you drink kombucha in a pub? Surely that's in the health food store. You know, so we've got some educating of the public to do. And that brings in new ideas around communication and talking about health in a way that many of you may not have done if you've always worked in the traditional alcohol industry.
Club Soda, as you probably have now learnt, is very much a movement. It's a group of people. It's a website. It's a range of events. It's more than that, isn't it?
Yes, it's also a book. How exciting is that?
Now, who's this man that lives in his van?
Oh, so Drew is the third co-founder of Club Soda. People don't see him quite so often, but he wrote a lot of the book. But more importantly, the Club Soda community wrote a huge part of the book because we ask for advice and snippets and top tips. And actually now, if you go on to Amazon, you will see that there's an author profile for the Club Soda community, which explains how this book has been written by the community. And the community is the author on the front of the book. We're just the minions on the inside. So I'm really excited. This book comes out on the 26th of December. You can pre-order it now on Amazon and for your Kindle. There will be an audiobook version, which I am, you know, very excited about recording. But most importantly, I want everyone to realise that this is a collaborative effort from people who have changed their drinking. So this is real advice, not some strange advice that's come from a government department, but from real people who've been there and done that. And Drew brought all of that together into one book that you're really going to love.
Probably the only book I've ever heard of that comes out the day after Christmas, but it makes sense.
Yeah, because that's when people, A, have a hangover, and B, start to think about changing their drinking for January.
Let's learn more with Drew now. This is about the new Club Soda book entitled...
How to Be a Mindful Drinker.
Hi.
For those of you who don't know, Drew is our third co-founder. You've often seen me, obviously Laura, and Yusi, who's around an awful lot as well on a day-to-day basis. Drew is our co-founder in a van.
That's fair.
Travels around the country sleeping in his van and has written our book. So our How to Be a Mindful Drinker book is out on the 26th of December. Drew is very excited because we've got a print version with us now.
It's like it's actually a real thing. It's a really funny thing. I started writing this back in May time. Obviously, there's lots of thinking time, then writing time, then time with designers, then endless revisions and all sorts of things. Even through all of that, it didn't feel like it was real, even at the point that I was saying to DK, the publishers, you can print it now. Even at that point, it didn't feel real. Now it's in my hands. It feels real. It also now feels like somebody else did it. It's really odd. I don't know. Anyway.
Oh, well, he's
I have
stolen
a complex relationship with this
he
book.
He has a complex relationship with the book. I'm really excited about it because the author on the front of the book isn't you, Drew.
No, it's not. It's the Club Soda community. And that is really, that's really significant and a real thing for a couple of reasons. One is really everything I think that we know, or really a lot of what we know about mindful drinking, and particularly about how changing your drinking affects things like your sleep or your energy levels or your relationships or your feelings of well-being or how you feed yourself, all of those kinds of things. All of that we've really learned from people in the Club Soda community, living through their changes as they've changed their drinking and what they've discovered about what works and what doesn't work. So a lot of the really kind of practical advice that we've got is kind of woven into the centre of the book, which is really about the how changing your drinking changes your physical health, your moods and your relationships, really reflects a lot of what people have told us about how changing their drinking has changed them. And the stuff that we've just kind of gathered from this amazing community of people that we've got in Club Soda over the past 5 years. And then we've also included in the book people's tips, and people were so generous. I mean, honestly, we've had so many more people offer us responses to the questionnaires about different bits of the book and their thoughts than we could ever possibly include. So there are loads of people who put forward ideas that we just weren't able, we just didn't have space for. So we've got all of those members' tips. And then we've also got people's stories about how they changed their drinking, which were a bit more in-depth, a bit more subject-specific. There's one at the end of each chapter, so they've all got slightly different focus. An opportunity, I guess, to get under the skin of a Club Soda member's story of how it was that they changed their drinking and became a mindful drinker. So some of the stuff, I'm really pleased that some of the stuff in the book is my stuff. But a lot of what I was doing in writing the book was really pulling together our collective wisdom and presenting it as a coherent whole for people who don't know Club Soda. You know, we're publishing this book at the beginning of January, so it's really for people. It's going to land in people's laps just at the point that they're maybe doing dry January or they're just coming off the back of a boozy Christmas and want to reset in the new year. So it's bringing all of our collective wisdom to those people who don't know us, who don't know our world, who've never even thought about this stuff, and giving them a really easy way into thinking about how to become a mindful drinker.
If you're only looking to moderate rather than go alcohol-free, does it work for you? Or is it very much you abstinence or nothing?
Oh, no. So really, kind of explicitly, actually, the book is for everyone who wants to change their drinking in any way. And we talk in the introduction about moderating and going alcohol-free. They're kind of like two groups of how to change your drinking. So people go alcohol-free sometimes for a short period, say if you're doing a dry January, or people decide to go alcohol-free long-term with or without an end date in mind. And other people who want to moderate, and there are so many ways in which you could do that, you know, cutting down the number of days you're drinking, cutting down the number of drinks you're drinking, cutting down the strength of what you're drinking, and all sorts of combinations of those things in between. But the book works for everyone, and it's really designed to work for everyone wherever you start. So just as an example, one of the things about moderating, which isn't so much of an issue when you're alcohol-free, is obviously deciding when you're going to include alcohol in your drinking, how many drinks, on what days, what kinds of drinks, how you're going to respond to those. That's a very specific moderating issue, which isn't the same for alcohol-free. But equally, you know, we talk in the book about the ups and downs of counting. You know, that's much more of a tool or technique that you might use if you're going alcohol-free and you want to keep track of the number of days that you've been alcohol-free. So there are those kinds of things. But they're really, I guess, they're very specific, and really the core of the book and the core message of the book is about helping you pay attention to how you're drinking now. Think about the kind of life that you want to live and the role you want alcohol to play in it, however that is, whether that's moderating or alcohol-free, and then giving you some practical tools in planning and in monitoring your progress and in celebrating your achievements to help you live the kind of life that you want to live and put alcohol in its place.
And I think for me, the really important part of that is if you think of your life in your New Year's resolution terms, you always have a headline, and the headline's always, I need to lose weight, get fit, mm-hmm. give up drinking. And of course, we never often scratch beneath that surface mm-hmm. as to why we want any mm-hmm. of those things. And so that focus on it being the life that you want to lead, and does not drinking help you lead that life? Mm-hmm. So I've always been very taken by Club Soda members. They've got all sorts of aims from not drinking, mm-hmm. from losing weight all the way through to having a better relationship with their children. And I think that's what we've tried to emphasise in the book.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that actually reflects, because we did some research, people in Club Soda contributed their stories of how they changed their drinking. And one of the things that becomes really clear out of that is that just having an intention to change your drinking in some way. So say that you decide that you're going to have X number of days alcohol-free. That can really help you change your drinking. But actually what's even more effective than that is what we describe in the book as having multidimensional intentions. So it's not just, I want to drink alcohol on 2 days a week. But it's also saying, I want to do that because I want a better relationship with my kids, or because I want to perform better at work, or because I want to work towards running a marathon next year, or whatever it is. But actually, those intentions that we have, which kind of tap into all sorts of different bits of our lives, not just the kind of the mechanics of how it is that we're going to drink or not drink, the more those intentions are really kind of bedded into every aspect of our life, the more likely we are to live up to it. And that's certainly what we heard in that research that we did, which was funded by the Wellcome Trust. That came out really clearly, that kind of multidimensional intentions are the thing which really help people change most. So that's the approach that we've taken in the book. There's lots of this book which, to be frank, is nothing to do with drinking, and everything to do with living a good life, and then working out, once you've got that in place, what kind of role you want alcohol to play in it.
Absolutely. And then there's the other bit that we're very passionate about, which is being pro-social mm-hmm. and working out what you're going to drink instead.
Yep.
Now, I know Anya wrote some of the bits yeah. about drinks and being yep. social, which is excellent. And Anya does our drink reviews, which some of you all read, and you'll be hearing in every programme as well. Mm-hmm. But I think, why is it important to focus on being social?
I guess the key reason is that one of the other things that we've learned as a community about what helps people change is that for lots of us, our drinking is social. Whether that's kind of socialising with our partner or our family, or whether that's going out to a pub or a bar or a restaurant, alcohol is kind of woven into our social lives. And I think the model that we've been presented with before kind of club soda came into the world was, if you were going to change your drinking, you need to step away from all of those situations where you might have drunk before and avoid them completely. And actually what that does for people is it's really socially isolating. If your way of changing your drinking is just, I'm not going to go to any of the places or interact with any of the people that I interacted with before, you end up having a life which is really very solitary. And one of the things that we also know is that we drink more at home and we drink more on our own. So you might be going into that with the best of intentions, but if your way of changing your drinking is basically, I'm going to cut myself off from the world and I'm going to do this as a solo endurance sport, you're actually more likely to get yourself into trouble. Because who's going to see on the night where you drink two bottles of wine? Apart from you, you're going to feel it the next day. You know. So we would actively encourage people to have a social life, because actually having peer support around you is really important. Having some accountability that people can see what you're doing is really important. But also, having a social life is really fundamentally good for you. One of the bits that we talk about in the book is about feeling good and where our sense of feeling good comes from. And the fact that for lots of us, I think before we change our drinking, having a pint or having a glass of wine is it's a shortcut to feeling good. So we need to work out how to generate those good feelings. Feeling good feels good. So we need to work out how to generate those good feelings. And one of the ways that we do that is through socialising. So I guess we're kind of, club soda is a bit unusual as a movement, certainly in this space around changing your drinking, because we would actively encourage people, at the moment that you begin change your drinking, start going to the pub. It's actually one of the best places that you can be, surrounded by people, having a good time, finding great things behind the bar that you can drink. So we've got, Annie's written this brilliant section of the book, which takes you from the kinds of things that you like drinking when you're drinking alcohol, and helps you think through how to find low and no alcohol alternatives. So there's a great section on beer, on wine, on alcohol-free spirits, and then some other things that you might be encountering for the first time as you change your drinking, things like shrubs and kombuchas, and how to choose them and how to choose them well. Yeah, we've given people some really solid tips on what to look for, how to choose quality, yeah, and how your taste buds might change as well when you're drinking. That's another really important bit.
Yeah, and I went to a drink tasting with Adnams the other day around their beers, and they say that when you're tasting a drink, your first sip never tastes the best. You need it to coat your tongue in order to get you ready for the second sip, which is the sip that you should taste. So for me, the idea that you can practice a new behaviour in a familiar setting is really important. It's why we do club soda socials in pubs and bars and restaurants. But it's also okay for a while to avoid those if you find them triggery, but know that it is possible to still go to them in the future. Even if in the first few weeks you find it difficult, it isn't something you're going to have to avoid for your whole life, because suddenly if you felt that, it makes it seem very daunting and very lonely. And so whether or not you jump straight in to go into the pub like I did when I gave up, or whether you leave it a little while, it will be possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you just change the type of pub you go to anyway, because you want to go somewhere that feels nicer and where your feet don't stick to the carpet. And
I mean,
where,
unless you like that. Well, yeah, some people do.
But, oh, well, maybe. Cool. Yeah. So anything else you want to tell us about the book?
It's out on the 26th of December, which makes me giggle. I get it. So from a marketing point of view, if this was out before Christmas, this would be the world's most passive-aggressive Christmas present. Could you imagine? Mother, I've bought this for you. It's about how to become a mindful drinker. Merry Christmas. Do you really want another sherry?
So is our sales pitch the fact that we're deliberately not giving it for Christmas, that nobody can have it as a gift?
So you can't have it as a Christmas gift. And in fact, we say in the introduction to the book, if somebody's bought this for you as a gift, even if it's because they care about you very much, please put it down now. One of the things which is kind of, we know about behaviour change, is that it actually only works if you want to do it. So if somebody's given you this book as a gift, please don't read it. It's not for you yet. Decide that you want to change and then come back. So it's out on the 26th of December. That just makes me giggle because me and my son Ben, who's now 20, one of the things that we love doing is watching superhero movies. And like 26th of December is a big movie release date. So in my head, How to Be a Mindful Drinker is now just part of the Marvel Universe.
It's a superpower.
It's a superpower. And whatever comes out of it for people, however they decide to change their drinking or not, to know that, having read the book, there's a place in Club Soda for you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for everything you did on the book.
Thanks so much for giving me the opportunity. It's been amazing.
It's going to be great.
Cool.
That was Drew from Club Soda talking about the forthcoming book,
How to Be a Mindful Drinker,
which is out the day after Christmas, very relevantly. You have been listening to the Club Soda podcast. It's been the first one. We'd love some feedback. Obviously, there'll be things that will mould. There will be things that will change as times go by. Laura, you're a busy lady. I know that from trying to book time to do this.
Oh, he called me a lady. And I thought he knew me.
And for that reason, your schedule is ridiculous.
I've always got time for you, Vinny.
Yeah, have you got time for anyone else? Can people get hold of you?
Yes, I can. You can always email Laura at joinclubsoda.com if you've got ideas, if there's things that you want to see, and we'll be able to incorporate as much of that as possible. And I'm really hoping that after the first few of these, we'll be able to accept contributions from members and other people towards the podcast, because for me, this is about sharing the wealth of the activity that's going out in the world around changing drinking, and Club Soda doesn't have the... isn't the only place to go for stuff like that. So we really want to hear from you.
Thank you so much for today. My name's Vinny. Your name is Laura. Ta-ta.
Bye.
Joinclubsoda.com.
This was mixed and produced in the UK by We Make Podcasts. For more information, go to wemakepodcasts.uk.